So just a quick history of sort of this past fall and where we're at today and kind of how we thought about the updates that we're about to roll out. This past fall, we had a massive amount of new stuff that we rolled out. All new hardware. We completely revamped the software and the marketplace that was integrated. And then we launched a few new things too. Zune Originals.net for our customization website. And then the Zune Social off of Zune.net, which is our online music community. As we put all that stuff into market, and then other things such as forums added into Zune.net where we could really get a lot of customer feedback, that's what we've been looking at from a product and a marketing standpoint over the last few months, and how we shaped the 2.5 update. So there's really three core areas that we're going to run through that we focused on for this release. A big one is music discovery and how we can better that for our customers, how we can look at things that we have, such as Zune Marketplace and the online music community, the social, and really flex those as great places to dig in for music discovery. The second was video. So we really went deep with music to start, and we started our video story this past fall, selling music videos inside Zune Marketplace, launching a podcast directory that had a heavy emphasis on video, and then support for things like Media Center Edition, DVR, recorded content. But I'm happy to say we're launching a video store now as part of Zune Marketplace, and we have some great partners on board, so I'll dig into that in a sec. And then the last, and this is frequently one that gets overlooked because we've called it internally fit and finish, but that kind of, I think, belittles it. It's a much deeper thing. This is really for us as we rebuilt the software from the first version to the second version that we launched this fall. There were a lot of things that we brought back just from a parity standpoint. There's a lot of things that we didn't bring with us. And the great thing about having those forums and the different customer touch points that we had over the last couple months, so we heard loud and clear that some things we should not have not included in there. So instead of just plugging them back in, we thought about how can we bring them back in a smarter way and make them better than they were before. So a lot of things from metadata editing to auto playlists and different functionality like that we'll go through in a second. We're going to kick things off first with the social. So Zune.net is where the social is today. It's our online community website. What we're looking at right now, this is our revamped profile page. So aficionado is the Zune tag that I have here, also a gamer tag for me. But a quick run through here is the layout's changed considerably. We've really taking considerable feedback from the community. How can we improve this? How can we move away from it just being a series of flat lists, but to really bring out more of the artists that are underneath everything here? So just scrolling down the page, a lot of the same things that we had before are still here, but we've added a couple key things in. Namely, one is the About Me feature. So we know that our customers have Zune tags that are included in there, but a lot of people have no idea. I don't know half of my friends' Zune tags are gamer tags. So how do I connect with my friends or find other folks in there? We now have the ability to go in and put a little bit of a deeper identifier in there. So I've got my name, I've got my location. I've got a little joke, a little bit about myself. But if you search for me now inside Zune.net in the social, we'll actually pull that up. If you have Terry Farrell in the city, it'll pull that up. So again, it'll let me know what my Zune tag is and connect with me that way. Other things that we're doing is looking at identity and reputation. Reputation is something that we learned a lot about from the Xbox Live community in some ways there that things are automated and bubble up. So you'll see on my Zune card, I have this number 2 next to a badge. When you click on that, it actually pulls up that I'm a power listener. So these are automated things based on what I'm doing, listening to music in the Zune software and on my Zune device. When you click into this icon, it shows you that I have that associated with two apps, Nico Case and the band Spoon. So we have bronze, silver, and gold power listener badges. And this will bubble up actually on the artist pages inside the community as well. So it's a nice way to assign reputation as people are listening to certain artists more. And then it goes a little bit deeper beyond what we're doing just with the social cards. You want to talk about that, what they are doing in the community with reviews?
For forums?
Yeah, exactly.
So for forum posters, formerly we had a system where the number of posts that you made indicated a community level, and we found that people were posting random stuff just to increase their community level. So we replaced that with a system that rewards people for valuable posts instead. So users in the forums can now answer the question, was this post helpful? Yes, no. And once you reach a certain number of helpful rated posts, you earn forum badges that will display on your card in the forums.
So we're just starting to get going with the idea of identity and fleshing that out a bit more, but this reputation badges is a nice way for us to start here. Going down the page a bit, another area that's new.
So one of the things that's interesting is that we learned from the fall is we added this little number of plays next to a tag as a recognition of how often you play songs, and we thought nobody was going to use that, and we found out that people left their devices playing overnight, and they were playing on the software just to jack that up, and it was really fascinating to us how engaged people got with that little stupid number of plays. So what we're trying to do is ask ourselves, what is the next, how can we evolve that reputation and continue to increase user engagement? We think these badges more or less begin to recognize the level of engagement that a given fan may have on a particular artist or album. But we're not only hoping to get self-expression and the fact that I have these badges, but use that for discovery purposes. Because when you earn a badge, say you're the silver listener for U2, that particular item will be shown in a list that Perry's about to show you, an activity feed of sorts. And so if I like Coldplay a lot and this other guy has learned a silver badge, hopefully it'll give you more opportunities to visit that page and learn more about other artists that people who like Coldplay like as well.
Going down a bit here, I'm going to talk to that feed, so what Julio was referencing here. So this is on my profile page, all the different things. I created a playlist with a lot of Spoon in it, so you'll see that I've become the top listener for all their albums in here. You can see that I've added certain friends in here. I chose that I'm the power listener for Nico Pace. So this is a good snapshot of all of my activity, if you wanted to just come to my page and check that out, or any recent things I've done with changing my tile or my background. New to the profile pages for customers, we've got my social. So when I click on this, today on your profile page, your friends are represented on the left side of the page in a bit of a laundry list that you can expand out. And you see their last three plays, and you've got their cards and their tiles you can click through. But we thought, how can we have a higher fidelity way of representing the music that my friends are listening to and combining that all into one view? So what we end up with here is at the top of the page is a mixed view here. So my social is really an all-up view of all of my friends and the music that they're listening to. So I can scroll across this mixed view, and I have different artists and albums by however it brings out more information there. And I go over to this side, this Band of Horses record, I click on that. I can actually see who the top listener is. That's my friend Brian over here. I hover over that. I've got the buy link, so if I wanted to, I could play a 30-second clip of that right here. If I click buy, it would take me right to the point of purchase for that album inside the Zoom Marketplace. Or I could send this on as a recommendation to other friends outside the social or friends within as well. So again, just trying to go from this flat list and have a better visual representation, bringing that really to life, all those artists and albums. Going down the page a bit, I've got my friends over here. So if I go through these tiles, I can see a little pop-up when I roll over them that lets me know that that's Dave. He's put a little bit of information, that's his About Me info that pops in there. If I go down here and click on this, I get to see my friend Emily, and her card will load in here. If I clicked on that tile on the card, it would actually take me through to her page. What's interesting about the friends that we saw from launch is some customers that bought a Zune and went and created a page in the social, they were having problems connecting with other people. They maybe didn't know someone who had a Zune, so how can they see the benefit of music discovery and connect with others? There's simple ways that you can go and you can search for your favorite band and find other like-minded friends from there and befriend them to see what they're listening to. But something we're doing this spring to sort of help solve that is preload friends for those customers that set up a Zoom social account and actually don't have friends already in there. So our preloaded friends, we jokingly call internally the super friends, are from the Zoom marketplace. They're the producers there. So we've got some really deep music genre experts. Those are going. There's six folks that are going to be preloaded in there. If you're an existing social member, we won't preload those folks over the top, but you have the option to go into the community spotlight page and you can befriend them. We have a 100 friend limit that we're working to change as quickly as possible in the social. That's a technical back-end thing that we share with the Xbox Live community. We'll be updating that as soon as possible. What's great about these one-way friend relationships with these preload folks is they don't count against your 100. So anyone you go to this new community spotlight page and befriend, it won't count against your 100 friends. So we're starting with the super friends, so the folks that we have, the marketplace editors, but we also have some interesting folks from the X Games, some professional athletes, snowboarders and skiers are in there, and different artists are starting to come in there along with some key Zoom staff. So we think that that's gonna be an interesting place that people befriend to have for music discovery as well. Going down, and I'm talking, if you guys want to jump in.
I was just curious, Cesar, maybe you can put in, do you want to take questions or thoughts?
Yeah, I think, just as it goes.
If you guys have thoughts, you like it, you don't like it, feel free to express your opinions.
Is all this in Flash or something like
that? Right now, this is all Flash, and but we have been modeling things out. When we built the Zoom car, for instance, we did a parallel path in Silverlight as well. And I think starting this fall, I think it's when we're starting to look at integration of Silverlight into the social and other pieces.
Are you looking to build it without rich media apps and do it strictly in Rust standards with Ajax and
whatever? So today we have a combination of both, and we're experimenting with how it feels to have a hybrid like we have now. And we want to learn. We've been working with Silverlight and Flash and Ajax, and some things work really well with just Ajax. So they're like that view control up there. If you could scroll. The initial feedback is that, wow, this could be a powerful visual discovery. This is a very dynamically refreshed control based on what the community is doing. And we're exploring ways to make it really cool so that when you interact with it, a lot of interesting things happen. So in that case, Silverlight or Flash may be better. Do you have an opinion?
Well, I mean, I'm not a big fan, personally, of rich media. I'm a big fan of web standards. But more so than that, you know, now more than ever, you have to build for mobile devices. And that simply doesn't translate to devices.
Well, we're looking at how Silverlight can play in mobile devices as well. But ultimately, we want the experience to be fast and valuable. We're not really religious either. It's got to be Silverlight or Flash. And if you think that there is some part of the experience that doesn't feel like that, let us know.
Brian, are you just are you concerned that this kind of experience is not going to be fast on the mobile device, which you would like it if it was easy to do on there?
I would say 90% of mobile devices in the world won't be able to participate in that experience.
I agree, at the moment. In the future, though, like it?
In the future, 4 years from now?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to be in a very different place 4 years from now. So.
Yeah. No, we won't have cell phones. Let's do it.
There you go.
I have a quick question. I'm just wondering, will this, like, a lot of this data, will you be able to export it to other social networks, like Last.fm has a Facebook app where you can, you know, upload it and it will spit out all your music right on your Facebook page. Do you have any plans to do the same thing?
Yeah, it was fine when we launched. There was so much work we were getting out the door this past fall that we intentionally didn't block the ability to take the usage data and bubble that up. The community got to things before we did. The community created six versions of the Facebook application before we launched our official one. And the only reason we put an official one out there is we wanted it to flex as much of the APIs and different things in there to where it brought it to life in parallel to what it would be on Zoom.net. But today we still have the ability to where you can plug it into your MySpace page and your blogs and different places there, but we're looking at that deep integration opportunity across other places as well. We're not trying to become Facebook or MySpace with the social. We really are focused on online music discovery. We know people are invested in those existing places, and we don't want them to have much work other than, you know, click here to an applications directory and, you know, have it light up over there. It would be
great. Yeah. What is something more about your topic? We really look at each tuner. We call these tuners. If there's a web tuner, well, so there's a service and there's multiple tuners, right? This is the web, then there's a device, there's a PC software, and we already have to deal with what should the device experience be. Like, we can't, today is not Silverlight or Flash. And so what we want to do is look at each tuner independently and figure out what is the best experience for each one. If you look at the device tomorrow when we launch, there is a version of Zoom cards that shows up in the device, but it's better optimized for what you can do with that device. So I think it's another way of saying we're not particularly religious about what technologies we should use across. We'd rather look at each tuner in its own.
What's the Zoom.net experience on Windows Mobile? Like starting tomorrow?
That's a good question.
We have not optimized yet what Zoom.net looks like in Windows Mobile. We gave priority to the Zoom device first.
Well, of course.
Yeah, optimization right now is really for the web experience and then taking it.
But I mean, that's kind of Ryan's key point, is that the web experience on a mobile device is going to suck.
But when we do, we're not going to look at Windows Mobile as the lowest common denominator that is going to inform what we should do on the web, right? We'll try to do the best we can do on the web and the best we can do in Windows Mobile. So when Windows Mobile hits the server, if you catch my breath, a different experience will show up than what you see on the web. And optimize for Windows Mobile. We haven't prioritized that yet.
But that's good feedback. I mean, it's a world where we're trying across everything, not just with the social, the things we're doing with Marketplace. We're trying to think independent of you know, just one experience. We think that investing in the software, investing in the services, that's where there's a lot of scale opportunities for us to get out there. So super valid feedback to think about the scale opportunity across other devices.
And I'm only throwing out Windows Mobile as one tiny portion of the market.
That's
the one that you guys control most closely.
Yeah, and you'll see as we get into a little bit more of the demo, I mean, we look at things. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, we're looking at Zoom and what we can do there to optimize around those experiences. But then there's a little ring of sort of micro power that we can look across, whether it's software-oriented things, whether it's things to bring to devices,
like crossing the gap of other social services, like allowing me to have my status message be whatever I posted most recently to Twitter, or even with a headline from whatever RSS feed on the planet I happen to want to have be my status message.
I think that that's a lot of areas that we're looking into right now, like across the social, how we can plug in different things there that are, just as we're plugging this out into those existing places like Facebook and MySpace and blogs, how can we take that stuff and plug it in here as well? Okay, let me keep going down here. So this is the feed as seen from the My Social view. So this is an all-up view now, looking across all of my friends and different activities here. This is where I can check in and see different things that have happened. I can see right here, my friend Brian added a Band Forces record as his favorite, different power listener things, that was actually me, but a nice roll up there. If I want to click through to one of these album pages, I'll go down here actually. That's what we feel. It'll take you to, we have album and artist pages as well inside the Zoom Social. We've made a couple small updates in here, but we're interesting ones. On album pages here, we have different information such as reviews come from All Music Guide. Top listeners are showcased here that I can go and check out. But if I want now, I can actually write my own review, and the community can rate these. And these bubble, the more ratings, positive ratings that a review gets, the more it'll bubble up. There can be multiple ratings for the multiple reviews for the same album. So again, trying to bring the community a little bit more involved. Today, there's just comments on those pages, and we're trying to improve that there.
Terry, what was the length of the box?
What's the character limit? Do you know off the top of your head?
2,000.
Okay. So it's a decent amount of content to do liner notes almost.
You know, when we were playing with the names of it, we thought from an album review standpoint, that would be nice, because you're going to get the standard set that comes out of AMG, but to be able to put your own twist on it there. When you go actually to the artist pages, too, you can leave comments on those.
So, if I see that a friend of mine has a song that they have favorited or whatever, can I actually listen to that song without spending any money?
You get a 30-second clip. On Zim.net.
No, but I mean, like, because I think even Rhapsody now has a 3 plays before you buy feature.
Yeah.
And what are you guys doing to move towards something similar to that?
Right. We can let some of the marketplace guys in the room speak to that, Rick, if you want to. But I mean, right now, we've got 30-second clips that we're dealing with on Zim.net. But ideally, we're sort of melding experience, where I'm going to show you next in the software experience, how we can bring the community more into the software there, where you can do more things. But out on Zim.net today, we're limited to 30-second clips.
That's right. Yeah. If you have a Zoom Pass, of course, you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you subscribe to the service, you can listen wherever you want.
But we're in constant negotiation with the labels to increase. We really got the labels' rights negotiation, I suppose, to increase the number of the opportunities for you to listen to cool songs.
So I'm going to bounce now into the software. So let's pull that up here. So a lot of the work that we've done around the social really has been optimized for out on Zim.net, where it lives today. Tomorrow, when we launch the new software, we're making some expanded views here. When I click on social, actually, we'll be able to see my friends here. And we have is it the medium-sized card that we bring in here? So I actually get my friends list now right inside the software itself, so I don't have to have Zim.net open and be bouncing back and forth to see what they're listening to there. I can click into cards. This is Emily's card here. I'm a ZimPass subscriber, so all my links here show as download. If I didn't have a ZimPass, it would say buy. A lot of our ZimPass customers actually buy tracks. So if I want to actually buy to own, I could easily do that just by right-clicking on the track. But I can go through her recent listens, her favorites. I can see.
I love that trick.
Caesar sent me a note a little too late to turn that off. But again, just taking that recommendations a lot closer in. We know the top ways people are discovering music is through things like radio, and then a close second and first that interchanges is through friends and recommendations. So while this is my list of friends that shows up here that I've chosen to have inside the community, when I click in here, I actually get to see Emily's friends as well. So while I haven't befriended these folks, I can click into their cards. So it really is a discovery that starts to be shades away.
Another note on that that's interesting is how, as you encounter new music, because remember, this is somebody else. This is what they've been playing. And I might not be familiar with Trent Mueller, even though I might end up loving Trent Mueller. I can, at that moment, not just download, I can actually visit Trent Mueller's page and jump you directly to his page on a marketplace and learn about him as a DJ.
Yeah.
And you can get every artist that's flowing through this system.
So Friends of Friends, that was something that rolled out on Live in the fall update. And, you know, clearly the system is based on Live backend and in some ways. I have no idea how much overlap there is, but how much of the developments that you guys are making to the system and the service, you know, are based on your needs, and how much are based on just whatever direction Xbox Live takes?
Well, there's a couple parts, and then I'm going to have the product team chime in as well. But the Windows Live ID, we're trying to be smart about looking at, again, back to the whole micro power thing of, you know, Windows Live ID powers a lot of things. Powers Messenger for us, powers the Xbox community sign-in, and powers what we're doing with social and the Zoom tag. We're looking across the experiences with social experiences and entertainment experiences at Microsoft and thinking, where can we smartly sort of leverage these things and pool them together to where they're not these individual experiences, but really sew them up. As far as the Xbox side of things,
it goes both ways. Zoom, in some ways, it's an application, an entertainment application built on top of a bunch of services, some of which are Windows Live services, like Passport, others are Xbox services, like the Friends Social Graph.
And so we are in some ways constrained by what the service can do, but at the same time we can inform future enhancements of the service based on scenarios we need. Friends of Friends is one that is particularly attractive because you can card hop to your heart's content. You can do it, right?
Yeah.
From within the convenience of the PC software, you can explore a very deep social graph about from each friend's
and go deeper and deeper. Yeah.
Can I block someone from being able to do that? Like if I'm a friend of you and I don't really want other people to look at my, can I be antisocial?
Yeah, one of the settings is you don't want to share your friends or play information with non-friends.
What's the point of hopping someone else's friend? Like, I see what this person's playing and that's cool, it gives me an indication of what I might like, but I don't see any reason why I'd pick one of those friends over another. Like on Facebook I see a picture, it's like, oh, hot girl, I'll click it here. What's the point of clicking to another friend?
It's the same social discovery mechanism as you see in any...
Yeah, but I'm saying if I don't see any information about that next friend, like if I don't see one song, just anything about them that's an indication of why I clicked them, I'm not understanding why. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's my reason to click any of those?
Because you know them. That's good feedback. Then it could be exploratory. It could be, once you click on it, you do get to see a bunch of information.
Yeah.
Clicking one.
What happens if you just hover?
And hover, you just get...
If hover, you get to see what they have entered about me.
Okay.
So it may include more information.
Will I see those badges or whatever? Will I see badges under their name in this area?
No.
So all I see is their name and their avatar. Or icon or whatever.
Well, when I click into their card, this is what you would have to make the click.
Okay.
But once you click, you're going to see their recently played tracks.
Oh, I get that. I'm saying before the click, all the info I get is just their name and icon.
That's good feedback.
Yeah, that's good.
Clicking doesn't burn too many calories, dude.
I am a happy clicker.
It's still pretty much random though, because you've got a lot of rich info except for down there. Where you've got playlists up here, you've got multiple albums size, you know, weighted by size and plays and stuff like that. And but then down there it's pretty much it's like,
yeah, it's by recent.
Just
so most recently listened to music.
But
then what's
sense.
The activity? Well, if you click on recent activity, that's organized by recent activity,
yeah.
But you don't know what that activity is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It would make almost more sense to you if you hover over one of the songs in their playlist to show you other people that also like that music.
So we'll show you later that feature.
We're trying to postpone so many thoughts for like future stuff that we're going to walk through.
Great feedback.
Yeah.
To get back to my original question, so this, you know, Friends of Friends,
right.
That was like a big thing for Xbox Live, for Xbox in the fall update. So is that something that like you guys heard was coming down the road with them, and you're like, oh, that would be great for, you know, for the next version of Zoom? Or is that something that you went to, you know, that team and said, we would really like this feature, you know, could you use it also for Live? Or how did that whole thing work?
There's definitely dependencies that we have on some work with the Xbox Live team. We're trying to...
But I think just in that particular case.
Okay.
Work.
Yeah, and I'm also asking in other instances, you know, how does that interface work? Because
Depend on the some on the negative front, we found very quickly when we launched that the 100-friend limit that was something built on the same back end with Xbox Live for gaming doesn't translate when you want to have music, social discovery music. So that's something that we're looking to change. I don't know if Xbox is going to change that when we make that change.
You're empowered to make that change.
Yeah.
Separately.
Yep.
I'm working on a feature release that currently we share with Xbox, and they have a similar need to change that feature, but they're in a different time frame than we are. We'll probably do it separately from them. We're not going to retain that dependency.
So really the relationship that you share with the service is not one-on-one. You are empowered to make different changes, modify the service.
There's nothing that's handed over the fence that says you have to do this. I mean, we're trying to be independent where it makes sense for us to be independent as businesses, but at the same time, I'm excited, having worked here for a while, to see us take our entertainment groups and put them into one rather than being a lot of disparate things, and how we can take the power of all the things that are happening with Xbox and leverage anything that they've done, such as like the community things, and go, all right, we're looking at music. How can we music discovery?
This is one of the most liberating places to work at the whole company, because if you want something changed on the box, you call Pamela and get a change in the box. If you want something changed in the service, you can make it happen on the service. That's one of the beauties of Zoom, is the end-to-end. And there are absolutely service engineering teams that are specific to Zoom. They're implementing scenarios floors are. And in the cases where there's dependencies, we go off and we say, this is what we need, and we make it happen. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Okay, so we get the concept. I've got my friends here. Me, this shows my card, so I've got a view of my recently played stuff, and I've got my friends list down below. Inbox, this is actually something that if people are sending comments back and forth today for customers, if someone sends me a message and I want to reply to that message, I have to go to zoom.net, log in there, reply. So we've actually brought in the ability for me to message right here inside the software. So again, trying to keep those discovery experiences and as much of it here without having to have people jumping around from website to software and back and forth.
How do you drop in a card into a reply or something like that? Because when you hit reply, there was texts and there was friends.
Right. This was just a message that was sent to me where someone had said, check out this card, mm-hmm. Which is a prank because that used to be my Zoom text and it's still right here. But the idea here is that, so that was a forwarded card to me, so that's what I'm seeing. When I reply back, they'll get it. This is Julio. He'd get a message with my Zoom tag that he could just click on it and go to my page.
Because that would be kind of a cool feature to, you know, instead of somebody saying, hey, check out this album, they could see that you already have checked out the album.
Recommendations of what's already in my library and capturing that. So this, I think, is probably the most exciting thing that we've done with this release, which is I've got my Zoom plugged in down here. I have all of my friend relationships. Some are just friends. Some are actually people that I look to for music recommendations. People like Kyle Hopkins, who's a DJ with KEXP. He heads up our Zoom Marketplace team. He's frequently turning out new music. So I can actually drag his card, or I've got Emily here, who is another producer on his team, down to my device. This actually gives a little preview to another feature where I have two Zooms. I have a Zoom 80 that's plugged in right now that's named Rodan, and then I also have a Zoom 8 that I used to work out with. It's called Pickle. I can actually, if I wanted to, I could set this up for syncing the next time I plug in my Zoom. It'll be ready to go. Or I could drop it right here on Rodan. I'll get this message box that lets me know the benefit of taking the Zoom cards to go, which is if you're a Zoom Pass subscriber, you actually get the full song tracks for each of the playlists. So, and that's, we narrow the list down to make it manageable for the size of the card to 6 songs for each playlist. So for my recently played tracks, for my favorites, and my top artists, I'll have 6 songs, so 18 songs with each card. Taking this to go, every time I sync my device back up, either wired or wirelessly, it's going to refresh that card, and I'll have the updated playlist from my friends on the card. So it's really thinking about your friends as radio programmers or discovery and getting those experiences off the machine and on the go with you wherever you are. We've got some devices to pass around too.
Something that would be cool with that feature is that I can predefine what things I want people to receive when they download my card.
What I want them to.
Yes.
Because if you're talking about I'm programming for you,
yeah.
The idea that I could actually
recommendations
say,
of
these
stuff,
are the 18 songs I want anybody to receive if they.
Yeah.
So you can do that to some degree today with your favorite playlist. That one you have full control over. The other one is what you play. So we think of, and we've gotten some interesting feedback that people want to avoid including songs I've played as my broadcasting, because I want others to get it, and that's great feedback.
Well, and a lot of times, like something that I might have recently listened to might be some album that I just decided to sample for the heck of it, and I hated it.
Right.
I don't really want somebody to associate that with me when they download it.
Yeah,
if you listen to the whole album, though, it would be hard to see why you hated it, but you did listen to it. I get it, and we want to be able for you to remove those songs. But the other thing we wanted to achieve, at least in this release, since this is what we're reintroducing, is a dynamic aspect of bringing fresh music that you listen to. So if you did listen to that music, we want to push it through. As we learn more from you and others about how people think of themselves more as a DJ or a curator or music or broadcaster, we will increase the number of features we give you so that you can have more control.
Or maybe if I like rate those songs low, suppress those on my list in some fashion.
Terry, once you download that card though, is the music become part of my collection as a whole, or can I just remove that card and it removes all the music associated with it?
It takes it all with you. So the card is its own container. So every time I sync, it's going to refresh that card. But I can if I'm a Zimpass subscriber, I can mark it for download the next time I'm at my computer if I really like one of the songs I've heard from a friend. If I'm not a Zimpass subscriber, we don't actually send the information there. There's metadata. You could hit add to cart that would set that up for later. The real value right now, though, is if you're, this really takes the discovery experience for subscribers to this whole new...
I would add to that, their work was done to create the notion of transient content. This is a little bit more on the technical side. But now with these cards, you have a notion of content that's in your collection, that's yours, you want to keep track of it in a certain way. And there's other kinds of content that's sort of downloaded in the background, kept in the side of a container behind a partition, kind of a militarized zone or a quarantine for the stuff you might like, you might want to add. And that's actually a pretty significant change going into this release, and we think it's an important piece of this paradigm of discovering music.
Is it smart enough to recognize if there's overlap, if something in their favorites also happens to already be in my collection, so that if I delete their card, it doesn't delete a song that I want?
Yes. It does. It doesn't delete your collection.
Some stable feedback. This is awesome because I don't have the time to go and look at all of my friends' music all the time. Even if I have more than 100 friends, I mean, yeah, it's cool that I have a lot of friends, but I can't look at everything. Okay. This is cool because I can drive in through my favorite friends' cards, and I always have their
updated music. The little icon underneath, is that actually like telling you that you've dragged that to your
already? It lets me know which has a sync relationship that already synced to my
button. Are the tracks that come over still bound by the three play?
No, these are, if you're a subscriber, they're full of tracks.
But if you're not a subscriber?
If you're not a subscriber, we actually just have the metadata. We're hoping to improve that. We'd ideally like to have 30 seconds, but that's something we're still trying to negotiate and see if we can.
So the real value here is if you're a subscriber.
Which goes back to Chris's point earlier on about subscription in this iteration.
It makes it really, really important.
And then I guess the dovetail question on that is, so things that get pulled over, do these get automatically added to your library as well? Because I'm viewing it right now through the social interface.
Right.
I'm viewing it through the music interface. Is it going to be mixed in with the rest of my tracks?
Not unless you physically keep the tracks.
Yeah.
You pull your collection stuff in.
So the quarantine is on both the
devices. Can you show us what it looks like once you drag it in? So once you go to your Zoom, where do you see the cards?
Oh, that's what we just passed three devices around the room.
On the device.
Yeah. So just for people to get the devices, there's a, under the social tab, it's friends. I see my cards there, and they're clicking into the cards.
Did none of these people actually have favorites activated? Because there's no favorites busted in that.
It's possible that they didn't. Now, it's interesting, this is one of those features that we talk a lot about, but when you actually use it, you get a really interesting sensation. And the fact, when you actually see the user, the friend's cards, with their picture, their background, and their status, you know, getting ready to see things, rights, whatever, and you start listening to their favorites or their recently played, there's an added meaning, because you think of that person, and sometimes you don't like the song, and you go, why the hell are they listening to this? Or sometimes you do like it, and so this social meaning and fabric around listening to what your friends are listening to and the device that is automatically refreshed, it's easy to talk about, but once you experience it, you really do get an interesting sensation that is seldom found in any of these.
Yeah, and this is just anecdotal from me playing this, and a lot of these cards, I should just let you know, these are test accounts and stuff we've been playing with in-house. I found myself being a lot more selective about the friends that I sync over to my device. I have a lot of friends that are people that are in the Zoom team and things there, but there are a couple people that are really tastemakers that I value their input on music and check out their pages on Saturday when I have a few free hours. To actually have those now with a sync relationship with the device, that every time I sync my device, it's going to refresh that stuff, so I've got that to go, is really powerful.
The third playlist, I think, needs a little bit of attention, because it's kind of a weird one. This is your top artists, right? So based on what you have played last month, we pick those who you play the most. But we then include the top three songs of the community for that artist, not yours. It's kind of a weird intersection of you get to choose the artist based on what you play, but the community is choosing the top three songs for that artist.
Is there a way to play all the songs from the card? Because when I just looked at this, I saw top, I saw favorites, I saw recent. If I just want to play their whole card.
You can shuffle or play all the songs in each playlist. I think you can shuffle.
I only saw per.
But you can't do all 18 songs.
There's no
list. There's no play all.
I believe you can.
Let's I saw it played all, but only underneath recent.
I want to
play the whole card, regardless if it's top or recent or whatever.
In
is
fact,
that possible?
That's not tomorrow.
Okay.
Soon. A funny thing. The other highly requested feature is I want to shuffle all my friends.
Yeah.
Right, so just shuffle. So
like the mix for you bringing that to life. As
it's been a very lively beta. This is version one of a whole new way of discovering music on any device that's out there. So we're learning a lot about it. And yeah, requests like, I just want to play the whole damn part.
Yeah.
That's coming into us right now as we're finishing. And for the meantime,
there's a
quick list on the device that you can ask up to. So there's some easy work.
And I wanted to mention, you talked about if you listen to a whole album that you don't like the album. If you're a ZoomPass subscriber and you listen in the software, stream it directly from the marketplace, it won't show up on your card. So that's what I find myself doing when I don't want people to know what I'm listening to.
So this is probably the major way that we're taking the social and really trying to expand that and bring value in from the community, whether you are a social butterfly and very active with social stuff and want to have lots of friends to be in the community, or just the things that are more passive value. So if I click on collection here, I'm looking, this is my local collection music, what I have on the machine here. I click into Coldplay here, to the album that I have in my collection. We've added these links here. So I can click on my friends who like Coldplay, and this actually goes through, takes me into Zoom Marketplace to the a new tab that we have called Listeners here. I can see my friend Dylan is listening to Coldplay there, so he pops up on that page. But I also see the other top listeners. So if this is one of my favorite bands, I can click in there and check out what other stuff they're listening to. If none of my friends were listening to this, I would just have the More About Coldplay link, which would bring me into the artist page here, where I've got my friend up there, the peers, if I do have any of my friends listening to the artist, but then I can click on that tab here as well. So again, just looking at how can we leverage the community, all the play data and stuff that's coming out of that, and be a valuable thing for our customers from this.
One way to think about it is we're trying to make your collection come alive by directly connecting it to the community. So when you rip a new CD, Coldplay or whatever, it's not just a boring old collection. There's live stuff connected to it. It constantly changes. And this is our first step by bringing friends who listen to that CD you just read, or top listeners in the community. Also to give you more opportunities to discover new music. When you click on listeners, if you really like Coldplay, and there's Hello One, is one of the top listeners of it, you might be interested, back to your question about context, in what other things does that person listen to?
An interesting spin on that would be like if you have showing you all the people who listen to Coldplay, but then like being able to set a threshold of show me everything that overlaps between all these people besides Coldplay. Like what else do they like that isn't just Coldplay? But it needs to be like a minimum of five people or something. Yeah. So it's not the same.
Right. When you asked about Silverlight earlier, one of the things that I think is really interesting is we've been playing with some prototypes and ideas of there's just millions of songs being played by Zoom customers out there, either with the software and or the device, and all that stuff bubbles into this back end. How you can layer filters over it and look at some interesting sort of views of it, going deep on one of your favorite bands, I've seen some real deep things that have come out of it, but spreadsheet looking views, but it starts to get interesting where related artists coming off of it, and from a people standpoint, I think that starts to get really interesting too, based on the music I've listened to in the last 30 days and finding other people in the universe out there to connect with.
That's the challenge, is that we're developing a whole mesh of data that mixes music and people and usage all as part of our service, and then conveying that stuff to an end user in a view that's simple and that leads to the discovery of new music, that's the art.
Yeah, and the social part of it, I listen to a lot of stuff, everything from black metal to jazz, and so I probably would be an exception to the rule of clicking through. Maybe Coldplay might not give you the result you're after, but for going to Coldplay's page and clicking on this person who I don't know as a top listener and seeing that they've just listened to a Jose Gonzalez album, that whole social recommendation, they're comparable enough to where I think people can get turned on to the music. Some cool scenarios there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you went from Coldplay to Slayer, that might not
quite throw people off. Or maybe we'll have a new Slayer list. PR. So one last thing I want to show just on the social piece is I'm going to play a song here. So the integration with Messenger is something that we've done. They have a now playing feature. And you actually see that now pops up here. So if you're using the Zoom software, and or I'm using the Zoom software, I'm chatting with anyone in my friends list, independent of whether they have the Zoom software on their computer or not, they'll actually see this link. If they click on this link come tomorrow, it's actually going to open up the artist page. So for this band, Santo Gold, they'd see that there too. So again, how can we be smart about looking at social and entertainment experiences around Microsoft and really trying to get that out there?
It opens it in a browser, it opens it in the client if you have the client installed.
It actually opens in a browser window. But again, this is just getting these little things that we can do that's kind of a fun thing to sort of take it a little bit further. And
the important point to make there is that since we launched the community on the web in November, it's in 5 or 6 months, there are about 2 million engaged users in it. You can imagine the leverage we have as we want to position that for scale with the hundreds of millions of Windows Live users that every month log in and use the Windows Live properties. We want to nail discovery in all these social interactions among the way people experience music and share music. And then carefully and deliberately begin to turn the funnel of these hundreds of millions of people that are using Windows Live properties into Zoom. And that's what will allow us to greatly increase our scale.
Is there going to be any kind of overlap of this time? I mean, since there's back-end similarities between this and Xbox Live, of actually showing like in my Xbox Live profile that I have something playing in my Zoom player on my desktop?
Those are all great scenarios we're very interested in. We're not announcing those today. One could imagine how those scenarios would
work. Back to your original question, what would you have expected that link to do, going to the client or going to this?
Ideally, if I have the client to the client so that I'm not going to a web page, but because that makes more sense.
I think that's the way it works, I believe. Well, I'll have it confirmed, but I believe if you have the client, it will go to the...
I mean, if it's smart enough to detect, that would be the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
That is how our deep links work. So it will, if you have the client installed, it will, as Leah said, go deep link into the client. If you don't have it installed, right, you will go then to the...
You're talking about the Messenger feature?
Yeah.
No, Messenger has a feature that is linked to music, and it will open its own web browser, and it will take you to a URL.
Oh, the crappy little square inside of Messenger?
You're awesome with it.
No.
But if you have the
browser? No.
Is it a true browser window now, or is it still like suppressed as part of Messenger?
And then once you're on that website, when you find music that you like,
then it'll kick you into Zoom?
You can, if you want to buy something, deep link into Dorado, depending on just what route you want to take. The web experience, the web tuner, it does have a different set of scenarios that are more attuned to the web and emphasizes the social more. Actually, we think that would be pretty compelling to start with. But if you want to go buy music or you want to go look at your collection, which we think is another hop away, at that point you can go in and check out your collection.
I think the scenario too, if we talk about kind of scaling this out and how we can use things like Messenger to expand. Our marketplace right now for download to own customers, 2/3 of the music in there is available as an MP3. So the flow that I see happening would be, we're chatting, you see I'm listening to some music, you click on that link, it takes you to a page if you don't have the software, rather than get a crappy message that says, please install the software first to listen to this 30-second clip. It actually takes you to a website where you can listen to a 30-second clip right then and there. The buy option, I think, becomes really valuable as our catalog becomes all MP3. And we're on the path there with 2/3 of the way there right now. And that's where you see I'm listening to Santo Gold, you go and check out a 30-second clip of that, you think that's interesting, you want to buy that, independent of any device you have, you can buy that and take it to it. So really looking at that software and service piece and how that gets outside of just pure device sales, but how we can really scale that.
One thing I just want to point out, when you guys are checking out the site tomorrow, this piece may not work until Wednesday because we have to wait for the Windows Live Messenger release time frame.
So that's a pretty good overview of the things that are coming from a social update. But to switch gears a little bit now and talk about Zoom Marketplace. So it's our integrated music store. We have a podcast directory. From a music standpoint, again, I just mentioned the two-thirds MP3. We've added lots of music videos in there where we see actually a surprising number of music video sales with our customers. We've got roughly 5,000 videos in there today. We also have the Zoom Pass subscription option. We're adding in is a video marketplace. So we've been excited about getting this going this past fall. We introduced video, like I mentioned earlier, with video podcasts and MCE support. But this is really taking it to the level that we want it to start going. We're going to launch fairly small with about 800 episodes in there to get going. Some key partners that we're going to have. We have NBC on board, so you're going to get 30 Rock, Heroes, The Office. MTV Networks brings with it a lot of folks there, so excited about Comedy Central and the MTV and VH1 and Nickelodeon shows that have come through. Other folks like Turner, Sci-Fi, and some anime. We actually have, getting back to sort of looking at us as overall our entertainment division, Xbox Live Video Marketplace has been in the video space for a little while, so a lot of learnings that we could do there as we were talking to customers and looking at how we wanted to shape this story and start to launch it. We'll be ingesting a lot more video week after week, and as we look towards fall, adding more and more partners on board.
Is this going to be a scenario where I have to buy a video for my Xbox or I have to buy it for my Zoom?
Right now, if you buy the video from Xbox, it's playable on Xbox. It's a high-def version. You get it down there. If you wanted to buy that for Zoom, you would have to buy that here. We are working out contracts to where the buy once, play anywhere scenario will be brought to life. Technically, that's not here just yet. But it is something that we will have down there.
Because to me, I see that as a big problem.
What customers can do today, if I buy a video from Zoom, I can plug that in to my Xbox, and I can play that video through my Xbox there.
Because right now, Amazon Unbox looks more appealing because I can download to at least to my PC and watch it and stream it over to my Xbox if I want to.
Right.
And that scenario will work.
Being able to take it to go as well.
Yeah.
So like I said, that's not lost on us, that connection. We have to start somewhere.
We can stream too. If you download it here, you can stream to your Xbox.
That's true.
What resolution video is it?
640 by 40.
Yeah. How do you stream it to your Xbox?
And through the Zoom software, you can stream music video.
You can do that with Amazon.
So you're just saying you're like through the standard interface.
Create home library.
Find the library.
That's acceptable. That's an acceptable start, definitely.
And we've actually had that, I think, since V1. Yeah.
If I go online right now, like NBC.com, I can watch full episodes. They have ads interspersed. Right. But here, I have to purchase it. There's going to be no ads. Is there ever going to be an ad-supported version that I can go to my Zoom with?
We're definitely exploring a lot of different models. It's not here just yet, anything like that, but we're looking at ad-supported. I think ad-supported is an interesting scenario, and talking to our customers, they get excited about that. This was the right starting point for us, I think, though.
So is there a library parity between video on Zoom and video on Xbox?
No.
Or is it...
No. Not yet. The Xbox guys, they're much more mature.
So they're doing... They have the separate deal set up. It's completely separate business case.
We can't get into the contractual pieces of it, but we have a shared business development team. So when they're looking at things like contracts and building out things, I think you're going to start to see... I think it's safe to predict that as new content comes on board with Xbox, most likely you'll see that same content coming on board here. But it is a separate contract.
But the goal ultimately then is to have content parity.
Yeah. I feel comfortable saying that. Bricks in the room, I can say. Some things might not be relevant for Zoom and vice versa. Like I think
that's the only problem.
Yeah. When I looked at this from a marketing standpoint, we said, hey, there's this Xbox Live Video Marketplace. It's been in market for a while. It's in-house. Let's look at their sales data. Let's look at what they've got, like top shows. But then when you look at their target audience, what they're marketing to, who we're marketing to, there's a lot of crossover, mm-hmm. but there's some stuff like those guys don't really want the Desperate Housewives stuff as much as they want the South Park episodes and sci-fi. So we're looking at places where we might have to flex a little bit different with our audience, but contractually we're looking at the same people and how we build your catalogs.
And at this point, this is television shows only. There's no long content.
It's all short form. There's some stuff that's coming in. We have like UFC, and we'll have some of the anime stuff is not necessarily network stuff. It's short form video. But that was the smartest starting point based on talking with customers for us.
What's up with movies under TV genres? Are like made for TV movies?
Let's click through and see what's actually out here.
Interesting. yeah.
We're not live yet. there's a lot of tests. I shouldn't have done it. I know that.
I know that.
I know my golden path. We're on test service right now. Tomorrow I'll be able to answer that question for you.
Nothing will be there.
Yeah.
That will not be there.
But we are, like, what we have done. So you have a couple different paths where you come in here. You can search. You can look through the network list that we'll have, different genres. Looks very familiar to how we've laid out the music store and what we've done with podcasting. New releases, top episodes and top series charts, different promotions that we're doing will be highlighted. If I click into a network here, I get a view. I can click into a specific series. Again, very much families with what we're doing with the artist pages inside the same marketplace.
Can you buy a season pass, or is it only individual downloads?
If you click into a season here, you can buy the whole season with one click, but we don't have any kind of subscription thing set up around. It's all DTO at this point right now.
So there's no like if I subscribe to it, I would get the episode as soon as it's released?
Not yet. We're looking at those scenarios. There's so many pivots. What are the right ones that customers really care about and are using? We're kind of digging those
lasers. Do you feel that the app itself is not neutral enough to support this kind of content? Just in terms of the style and crown and the look. It works well for music because music has, cachet and has coolness, but for television shows, like, I see this and it just looks totally wrong to me. Like The Office, and now it's overlaid with like those patterns in the environment. It looks like this really cool looking music app that was like had video shoehorned into it. It doesn't have the native look that it did when launched with the new music look.
So I'll look to Ian to say next.
I'd say that's the first time I've heard that feedback, but we're about to release. So if we're hearing that, absolutely. We're actually pretty nimble on the way we deliver user experience and get to the aesthetics. That's one of the things that we can be agile about. So yeah, if we want to change stuff like that around, and we're hearing that feedback. Yeah.
One thing that I think is critically missing here is a video preview of any kind.
Hold that thought. So go in here.
I was about to say.
All right.
An obvious.
Yeah, no, but why wasn't there one like for an overall like preview for the season rather than I have to drill down for a specific episode?
I think so. And also I'm just thinking through this the visual side of it too. One thing that happens is you can only change like the major paradigm around user experience every so often before your customers start going, oh no, they changed the whole thing all over again. And so we're actually about 6 months into this paradigm. And yes, we are adding features that it's going to probably push up against the envelope. There'll probably be a point in the future where we say, okay, this is the release where we do a paradigm change. And at that point, we probably see the stuff that was added more recently flow more fluidly through the experience.
Can I bump that out to full screen if I would really want to?
Yeah, this is just a preview right now.
Click on the preview.
Okay.
So, and that goes the same for the full screen playback. I think to your comment, if I'm watching this on my computer, that full screen playback sort of drops all of that away and I forget what I'm actually looking at. I don't feel that it's contained within that. But it is good feedback.
Double click on the episode and also give you a preview.
I actually don't think it does. Oh, it does. Yeah.
What a surprise.
I mean, yes, it does.
Yes.
What about doing like the original programming thing? Like, not that The Office isn't cool, but you can kind of get The Office in a lot of places now. And Xbox is sort of going in that direction, but what a great way to sort of try to put Zune on the map is, Is there any in the future thinking
like
about doing
tech salad?
I definitely can tell you that there's future thinking going on about that. But that's about as deep as I can go. But we're looking at program. That's why we started the short form. I mean, this was the thing that people, we've heard from customers, they starting with movies on a small screen on the device wasn't the place to start with. What's the ripest opportunity for us? That was short form video content. So,
well, doesn't the podcast component sort of get...
You know, it's interesting as we've been working on our video story and podcasting keeps growing more and more and different delivery mechanisms. And it's definitely a place that's getting richer and richer from a video standpoint. So.
Is there sharing of download
video? Video is, there's no sharing of video between Zoom. But we are looking at things like the social. Right now, the social, we've decided to go deep, at least today and tomorrow, on music scenarios. But there's breadth scenarios as we look towards the future releases about what I'm watching from a video standpoint. There's a lot of holes to try and avoid from that standpoint too. People watching video on their devices and take a lot more sensitivity. But we are definitely looking at how we can bring those experiences in, and there's some sharing scenarios obviously in there too. Let's see. Other things, going back to the video homepage here. I mentioned music videos are getting, it's one of these things, like I try and take off my personal hat working on products, and music videos, it's something I personally don't want to download and watch. I like some artist videos that are longer length, but we see a lot of sales of music video in the store, so much so that we've actually built out a music video hub that's dedicated now, where you can go through here, we'll have editorial picks in here. There's charts down below on the page as well, top sales. But and you can click through the different genres to get a look at that as well. When I download music videos and TV shows, where they're going to show up here, this is my collection view. I go over to videos. We default to the all, just flat list of everything that comes in here. But I can also now have different pivots here with TV shows. I just think I have the office and the South Park in here. But my music videos are broken out here as well. Movie content. Getting sort of this is the transition into talking about the last area, this fit and finish area, is looking at different feedback that we've got from customers around certain scenarios in the software itself. One of which was the ability to go in and edit things, whether it's audio, whether it's video. So if I right-click on a video here, I can go in, the metadata is pretty solid coming from our marketplace, but I could go in, I could make some changes in here. Where it gets interesting is when I go into the music section here. There's a couple different things that we can do. A problem that we saw our customers have is sometimes they've got their the same album and it ends up being broken into two parts. So how can we easily sort of marry those things back together? One way is just a simple drag and drop. I'm going to potentially scrap my library to show you this. But imagine that this was the same album, and for whatever reason, seven tracks were here and three tracks were here. I can drag and drop that over there. If I hit OK, we'll bring that together as one album and marry up the metadata that's inside.
And this is a real issue that users have. Metadata is complicated. People bring in their content from all sorts of sources. And that particular feature that Terry showed, which was collapsing an album, that tends to happen on a compilation where there's lots of different artists and tracks, and then is it one album, is it two different albums, so you can fairly easily drag and drop. And then the same is true if you've misspelled artists, or I'm sure you can work.
Yeah, and it also works here. We've introduced a genre view. This was a big request that we heard from customers, again, falling into that fit and finish area, but being able to see this, click through. There might be a certain album that I disagree with how it's categorized. I can actually drag and drop that over, and it's now in the right place with the right metadata associated with that. Getting back out to the artist view here, deeper metadata editing, I can go in, I can hit edit here. It's going to bring up the full list. I can go in, I can make changes here. I have a find info link now. It will actually go out and search for me. So again, just trying to be smart about not just bringing back metadata editing, but how can we make it better than it was before?
If you already have the album, why is it telling you should buy it?
We have their contractual obligations anytime you're showing album art with the labels that you actually have to have buy links associated with
even
that.
If you own it?
There's some places where you're actually showing it. Yeah. It would not let me buy it. It would tell me that it's in my collection if we wanted to get it with that.
That's nice.
You might already have this.
You bought it from us.
Yeah.
You might already have this, and I haven't spent much time in there, but does it have like the, if I want to create an album, like say I love the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, mm-hmm. kind of like a Pandora,
right.
and then I go create albums and give me maybe 10 artists that are similar to the Yeah Yeah Yeahs?
As far as recommendations going, that we don't have that right now, but we can pivot off a certain artist and create a playlist, but this, it's definitely, music discovery I think is the theme for what we're looking at in 2008 in a big way.
Okay.
So this spring release, we're doing a lot of things that we walk through with the social, but there's a lot of things when I think about what we're doing with Zoom, how we can bake sort of the best of all of those things out there. There's mm-hmm. a lot of disparate programs that sort of pimp off of Windows Media Player or iTunes, that are, whether it's Last.fm or Mog or Pandora, and a lot of these cool recommendations mm-hmm. and discovery scenarios, and we're looking at talking to customers, really understanding what are those, what are they really trying to get at, and how can we bring those things into?
Because Pandora's is so, it's so great because within 5 seconds you have as
build
many
a radio
songs.
Station
yeah, it's
for
exactly
me.
Like what you're in the mood for without asking friends. Not that there's anything wrong with asking friends and having a social network, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, not so.
No, Pandora is good.
On individual songs, is there room to, like to look at like who's producing the track, writing credits, like samples used in any? Is there any room for that?
Dave,
we don't have
that
here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
Mark doesn't.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Your client,
he's flickering.
Yeah, that might be the connection of this or this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we went through browser genre. Let's talk about auto playlists. So if I go to my playlist window, I got a couple standard playlists I created. I've got under the auto playlist feature, you can go in, create one here, brings up this little generator. I can go through, I can create the name. Let's have this be the I can go through, I can choose albums that I, or artists that I want associated. I'm just going to choose the things that I like, that I put hearts next to.
So this is based on the feature that used to be in Windows Media, or, yeah, it used to be in Windows Media Player, or still is in Windows Media Player.
Yep.
Yeah. So what I went and grabbed out now is just ratings. Bring everything that I've rated with a heart, I can bring that in here. But I could also go and say I want Rolling Stones records between, you know, 1968 and 74. Bring all that in. I mean, how can we be smart about these creating playlists that sort of cut down your library if you have thousands of tracks.
And then the same thing is if you add new albums or you download something that matches the rules, it'll automatically update it. Same if you remove it, the playlist will update as well. And you can sync them down to your device and it'll automatically update too.
And that feature wasn't in the previous?
It wasn't in the
I can't keep track of all of the versions of Windows Media Player in this thing. Okay.